Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. This has been a blessing, again, to be able to just be in the land of the living, just to be amongst those who are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And we are here another time to walk through the pages of life and learn and eat from the table that brings healing, the table that brings joy, that brings everything we need to exist, not only on earth, but to exist eternally. So this is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And I want to say thank you for tuning in to the broadcast another time. I thank God for your faithfulness, and I thank God for his faithfulness. And I have another guest, well, our special guest, who has been with us so many times on the broadcast, and I thank God for Pastor Michael Crow being obedient to the call of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ across the airwaves and the World Wide Web as we learn about this particular book, Revelation. So in the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, verse 8, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Pastor Crow will reveal some of these promises, these promising truths from this awesome book. Keep in mind that tomorrow is not promised to you. Now is the time to believe and receive the free gift of eternal life, because Revelation 1, verse 3 says this, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. For the time is near. So, Pastor Crow, why don't you just bless us with what the Holy Spirit has revealed to you as we walk through this beautiful book, Revelation.
Amen, amen. And once again, thank you, Sister Smith, and your listening audience. I want you to know God is using you in a tremendous way, and I want to thank God for giving you the steadfastness to continue on spreading his word, the consistency that it takes to spread the gospel in these closing days of grace. And I'm just amazed, and I'm just thankful to God that he allows you to let the word go out on this particular time, at this particular place. And we pray the Holy Spirit continue to work in you, through you, and for you to help someone come to the realization of who Jesus Christ is. We want to say thank you once again from the Barber Memorial Missionary Baptist Church in the 3rd Ward Midtown area of the city. We bring greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. Revelation is a very interesting book. And what makes it interesting is that it's very different from the other book, but it all coincides together. Revelation, even though it's what we consider the last book of the Bible, it's somewhat different because it's a revelation given by God to the Son, which gave to the angel to give to Jim. What a what a blessing. In this book of Revelation, there are many views concerning this book. There might be those that disagree with the view that God has given me, but we all have that right to agree and disagree. And this book is so fascinating until God has given many views to many people. But one of the things that we ought to always keep in mind, that we ought to know, what we believe, and why we believe it. When we talk about the book of Revelation, we believe that the Apostle John, one of the Zebedee brothers, is the writer. When we study the book of Revelation, as far as the place, many believe that it was probably on the island of Patmos off the west coast of Asia Minor, where if you study God's word, you'll see that John was banished there or exiled there for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a point I want everybody in our audience to just keep in mind as you study this. We might have different views on the contents of different scriptures or different chapters, but I think we can all agree that what makes the book of Revelation a special book and what makes this lesson a special lesson is because it is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, if you just write that at the top of your paper, that stands for throughout this book. It's the what? Word of God, testimony of Jesus Christ. Men think John wrote this around about A.D. 96. And again, what makes this particular book so special is that it is declared a revelation of Jesus Christ. We're going to see that in a minute in chapter 1 and verse 1. But I just want to, one more time, to those that are just tuning in, this book of Revelation is a wonderful book, an enlightening book. And the reason there are so many different interpretations is that people have different views. But the main three principal schools of thought which dealt with this subject matter, first of all, is the preterists. Now, you can look that up. That's P-R-E-T-E-R-I-S-T-S, who believe that the prophecies of Revelation have already been fulfilled. Then you have your futurists, who hold that the book contains a forecast of universal history. And then you have the eclectics, who lay stress upon the spiritual elements of the book, do not attempt to dogmatize upon the meaning or the details more than the mysterious vision. So just from those thoughts, the old preacher used to teach that you have your tribulationists that think it's already happened, your post tribulationists that say it's always happened, your future tribulationists who believe that it's to come. In all those different views, God still has a way through the Holy Spirit to give us the one main view of this book that I think could be undisputed amongst all our scholars and listeners and readers, that it is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Particular feature about this book, this apocalypse, is only the book, only book in the Bible that contains a special promise to the obedient reader. We're going to get into that in a few minutes. The number seven is used quite often in this book. This book contains a striking contrast in the opening chapters as far as Genesis and Revelation. Genesis speaks of the creation of the sun and the entrance of sin into the world, the curse pronounced, Satan's triumph, the exclusion from the tree of life, to whereas Revelation tells of a place where there will be no need of the sun, sin banished, no more curse, Satan overthrown, admission to the tree of life. Those are some particular features of this book. So let's turn over to Revelation. I want to just give you an open view, and as you study this, you'll see the different views, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will give you a view that can help you and will give you the understanding as to why you have the view that the Holy Spirit is giving you. But let's go over to chapter 1. And Sister Smith, if you don't mind helping me out, and we try to do this expository, if you would, let's just read verses 1 and 2. 1 and 2. And let's see what the word is telling us.
Okay. And this is Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it reads this way. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant, John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw.
Amen. So there we are again. I don't care how many chapters we have in Revelation. If you start at the first and go to the 22nd, this book, this vision is about the Word of God. And it's about the testimony of Jesus Christ. This revelation, God reveals to us. God revealed things to us as believers. And that makes us special because we saw where God revealed it first to Jesus Christ. And to him, he gave it to the angel. And the angel came to John on the island. This revelation, God reveals. Oftentimes, we downplay the supernatural power of God and his ability to reveal things to us. But if you're prayerful, if you stay in God's word, God will reveal things to you. And what a blessing it is to have power from another world reveal things. Now, his word says that because if you went to Amos 3 and 7, Amos 3 and 7 say, he revealeth the deep and secret things unto his servants and prophets. God does that. And if you went to 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 6, it says, he has revealed them unto us by the Holy Spirit. And once again, we see the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, how they all work together. And man, that's a blessing to be able to work together. Now, many people don't understand the doctrine of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we see in this particular situation, the Father gave it to the Son, and the Son gave it to the angel, which was inspired by what? The Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Now, it says the inspired who bear record, look at that second verse, who bear record of the what? Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, we can stay on that word of God all day because the word of God is how God speaks to us through the inspired scriptures, through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us. I'm talking about the word, the divinely inspired word. What we're doing tonight, the word is the mind of God, and we're so thankful that God allow us to travel in his mind, and he teach us what he wants us to know, and show us what he wants us to see, and leads us in the path that we have to go. But thank God for the what? Scripture. Now, 2 Timothy 3:16 say, all scriptures are given by what? Inspiration of God. And if I went to John 1:1 say, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. I'm just saying, you know, Jesus is what? The Word. And we're so thankful today that the Word became real. The Word came down through 42 generations to die for our sins. Christ's revelations speaking of the oracles of God. John 17:8, Jesus said, for I have given unto them the words thou gavest me. Christ often would make it clear that he didn't do what he wanted to do. He didn't go where he wants to go. He followed where the Father led. He said what the Father said. He did what the Father asked us to do, asked him to do. And we ought to have that type of mind, spirit in these closing days of grace. We ought to follow the Spirit of God. We ought to follow where he leads, eat where he feeds, and guess what? You shall not want. That's what Jesus said. He said, I have given unto them the word that thou gavest me. And then over in John 12:49, you say, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment. What I should say and what I should speak. So right there we have an indication that we first start out as we deal with the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was passed from the Father to the Son to the angel to John, who bear record of the what? Word of God. And the Word of God is Jesus. And, oh, man, we can't ever forget that. In the beginning, what? Was the Word. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was what? Was God. So in these first two verses, he really lets us know that God can reveal things to what? All of us. And where would we be without his divinely inspired word? Now, read that third verse for me, Sister Smith, because there's a golden nugget in that third verse. I certainly don't want to pass that up. If you could, just that third verse.
All right. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it. Time is near.
Now, in this particular verse, what we have is, and what is telling us is there are blessings promised to those who read and hear and are obedient to the Word of God. And I want to let you know, when you allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life and to lead you and guide you, God will bless you. There are blessings. This book reveals that there are blessings to those who read hear, and obey. Now, if we use that word hear, we could deal with that word how they hear, because Sister Smith, a while back, you taught a lesson about the hearers. And oftentimes we wonder, what kind of hearer are we? And guess what? Are we a disobedient hearer? Are we shallow in our hearing? Are we hard-hearted in our hearing? This book reminds us that that is a blessing to those that read and obey the Word of God. And I tell you, we can't obey without the Holy Spirit doing the obeying in us, through us, and for us. But what kind of blessings we can... Sister Smith, I want you to get Luke 6 and 20, or either you can go to Matthew 5 and 3. Because Jesus, in one of the greatest sermons he ever preached, talked about the what? Blessings. And oftentimes I tell people that, a lot of members, sometimes people that, while she's looking up that verse 5 and 3, people that are newly born again, sometimes tend to feel that when they sin, or when they come short, or when they miss the mark, they figure that they're just on their way to hell. If, I mean, you know, it's the worst thing could ever happen. Now, certainly, we don't want to sin, but we do fall short. And what happens is that we don't go to hell because we fall short. The only sin that a sent us straight to hell if we don't ask for forgiveness or repentance is the rejection of God. Person that refused to hear, refused to be a part, refused to hear what the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ is, they are hell bound. But those of us that fall short in our daily life, you know what? We miss out on blessings. There are some blessings that God could be blessing us with. But because of our disobedience, we miss out on them. Now, thank God we serve a God that's faithful and just. And if we fall on our knees and we ask for forgiveness, turn from our wicked way, guess what? He'll forgive us. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the forgiveness and the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. But there are blessings promised to the reading and obedience of the word. Let's read that third verse. Read that third. Oh, no, you had already read the third verse. We were talking about the blessings in Matthew 5 and 3. Yeah. What are the blessings?
Okay. Blessed, Matthew 5 and 3 reads this way. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Some more?
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. 12, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That's Matthew 3 through
verses 12 in chapter 5.
That lets us know that there are, Jesus said, that there are blessings associated with reading and obeying the Word of God. And I'll take it even a step further. The blessings are promised to those who the Holy Spirit helps them keep His Word. Now, we God ain't finished with us yet. There's some things that we don't do that we used to do, but there's still some things that God is working on us. But there's a blessing promised to those who keep His Word. If I had time, I'd take you to Revelations 3 and 8. He said you have what? Romans 3 and 8 said you have access to God. I'm talking about when you try to keep His Word. You got access. You can come boldly to the throne of grace. It was a while back, if we go back and study the lessons, where before the curtain was rent in twain, they had to have the holy place where the priest went, and the place where the crowd was. But when Jesus died, the temple was rent. And the Bible says, now you can come boldly to the throne of God through your keeping His Word. He said, you've been faithful over a few things. Come on, let me make you rule. You have what? Access to God. Number two, if I had time, I'd take you to 1 John 2 and 3. We have assurance. Not insurance, assurance. Insurance, all right, but you need what? Assurance. Assurance that God will do what He said He'd do. Assurance that it is another place. Assurance that the Word of God is assurance. Some, the older church, you call it blessed assurance. They say, Jesus is mine. So what a blessing to be a keeper of His Word, so that we can have that what? Assurance. And then John 14 and 15, He promised the abiding comforter. Can't leave the Holy Spirit out. And God promised the Holy Spirit. You do remember that He told the disciples to go back and wait for the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came, it gave them what? Power to do what God wanted them to do. And I submit to you today, you can have that abiding comforter in your life, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He will sit on the throne of your life. He will produce fruit, inward fruit, outward fruit, upward fruit. You know, the inward fruit is the love, joy, and peace for the inside. The outward fruit is the long suffering, the patience, and the gentleness for our fellow man. The upward fruit is the faith, temperance, and meekness. And when the abiding guest, who is the Holy Spirit, sits on the throne of our lives, He produces that kind of fruit. I don't know about you, but that's a blessing to be fruitful. And then John 14 and 23, He promised divine fellowship. You have to read John 14, 23. Fellowship with God. I'm talking about, it's not about knowing who Jesus is. It's about having a fellowship. Many people know who He is, have heard about Jesus, have read about Jesus, but do you have a fellowship? I'm talking about, do you know that you can walk with Him and talk with Him? Do you know that He's waiting to hear our cry. And He promised us, those who keep His Word, He say, I will fellowship with you. That's what He said in John 14, 23. And then finally, I don't want to ride this up too much. in John 8:51, he promised eternal life. Let me know that this world is not my home. And let me know that when I die, I don't die, I go to sleep. And let me know that if Christ got up, then I get up. Eternal life means that I get a chance to walk the streets of gold. I get a chance to be a part of the tree of life. And I get all of that because he promised those who keep his word. And let me tell you something. He's the only one that can keep his promises. A lot of people make promises, but everybody can't keep them. Some don't mean to keep them. Some do mean to keep them, but things happen. But I want to let you know today that Jesus is a promise keeper. And he promised never to leave us alone. He promised it. And I ought to have some witnesses out there that say, yes, he's a friend when you don't have no friend. He's closer than a brother. He's closer than a sister. He's a father to the fatherless. He's a mother to the motherless. What a blessing it is to have a divine fellowship with God and to inherit eternal life. Now read that fourth verse for me, please, Sister Johnson, because we've dealt with the promise, blessings promise to the for reading and obeying the word, and the promise to those that keep his word. Now read that fourth verse. They have an interesting part in that fourth verse. Read that fourth verse.
All right. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5.
I can't get past that. He's saying to the seven churches, which we'll open up with next week. He's saying to the seven churches, he say, what I have for you is what the Father gave me to give you. And you know what that is? Grace, God's grace. Look what it says in that. God's peace and God's eternal life. And fourth verse, he said, John to the seven. And that's what he gave us as the church. Now, when we talk about church, we're not talking about no building. We're talking about believers in Christ. We're talking about the body of Christ. And we're talking about those who have been born again. And he's saying to the churches, I'm going to give to you God's grace, God's peace, and God's eternal life. Now, we do know that Jesus is grace. We do know that Jesus is peace. We do know that this world is not our home. We have another place in glory. Now, that fifth, when you started reading that fifth verse of Sister Smith, you can go ahead and read that fifth verse now. Read that fifth verse.
And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witnesses born of the dead and the ruler of the kings on earth.
Now, in this fifth verse, we get a glimpse of Christ's faithfulness. You can look at Revelations 19 and 19 and read about it. We look at Christ as a what? Witness. We see Christ as what? King of kings. That's Revelation 17 and 4. We look at the what? Love of Christ. He loved us so much. And I just want to stop right here. There might be someone in our listening audience that, man, you just feel like nobody loves you. You feel like you're nobody, I want to let you know that God loves you. Christ loves you. Christ came all the way from heaven. Old Peter said he gave up his glitter to the stars, his glory to the moon, his brightness to the sun. He came all the way from heaven, born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Somebody know the story. To die for our sin. And that's why the Bible says God what so loved the world that he what gave his what only begotten son, that whosoever what believeth in him should not perish but have what eternal life. I want you to know he loves you today. That anybody out there that nobody told you that today, I want you to know that I love you, Sister Smith loves you, and above all, God loves you. And he loves you enough to come all the way down to this old world to die for your sin. So we see God's love. We see Christ cleansing, because through his love, he would cleanse us. Cleanse us. And then we see Christ what? Sacrifice. Now, I want Sister Smith to get Revelation 5 and 9, because what tops all this off, we'll find it in Revelation 5 and 9. The blood of Christ. Something about that blood. Do you have 5 and 9, Sister Smith?
Yes.
Okay.
And Revelation verse 5 through 9?
5 and 9, yeah. Chapter 5, verse 9. Mm-hmm.
All right. And it reads this way. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seal. For you were slain, and
by your blood.
You ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. That's verse 9.
It's something about the blood of Jesus Christ. The old church, you say, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. It was the blood that made the difference at Calvary. And oftentimes, I wish you could picture Christ hanging on the cross and see how he took all the abuse, all the shame, all the cursing, all the whips for you and for me. And when he was stretched wide and lifted high and dropped low, you would think that they had done enough to him. But it tells of that centurion that took that spear and plunged it in our Savior's side. And according to the scriptures, out came blood and water. Water for the baptism. Blood for the remission of sin. And guess what? He did it all for you and for me. Now, if I was preaching this, I'd say he died on a hill called Calvary. He shed his blood. There's a term called agorosa and ex-agorosa and luther. Agorosa means he went into the marketplace. Ex-agorosa means he purchased us. Luther means he what? Set us free because he loved us. It's something about the blood of Jesus. And let me tell you something. You weren't saved by corruptible things like silver and gold. No. You were bought with a price for you to have the spiritual freedom that you have today, for you to be on your way to heaven instead of on your way to hell. A price was paid. blood was shed for our sins on Calvary. Now I'm gonna come on down to this sixth verse, because the sixth verse really ought to inspire. Read that sixth verse for me, Sister Smith.
And it reads, "And make us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen."
Man, do you realize what they're saying? If I was kin to Obama, that would be all right. I could say, man, Obama was in my family. I was kin to him. That'd be all right. If I was kin to George Bush, that'd be all right. If I was kin to one of our movie stars or one of our great athletes of the world, that would be fine. But to know that I sat in darkness, to know that I was a wretch undone, to know that I deserve hell instead of heaven, to know that a table was prepared for me, a place was made for me, to know that I have a what? Inheritance. To know that I'm in the family now. That's a blessing, y'all. Somebody ought to be smiling right now. You might not have no money. Your gold card might not be what it ought to be. Your credit score might not be what it ought to be. But let me tell you something. You are a priest because Christ died for us. He has made us what? Kings and what? Priests. I'm talking about somebody that was a nobody. Now you're somebody. And you do remember the story in the Bible where the wedding was prepared and the king sent the servant out to get the royalties and the priests to come to the banquet, and all of them were busy. All of them had excuse. And the messenger came back and said, "I went," but everybody had excuse. The priest, the preacher, the choir member, the deacon, the missionary workers, I told all of them, but they were busy. And the master told him, "I tell you what, go into the streets and the lanes and tell Little Pistol, a handicapped Jim, and tell Pistol Packing Pete, tell that prostitute, tell that gangbanger, tell that person that's sick, tell them to come on to the table, because there's room for them." And you know the story. The messenger went back out and he brought all the lame, all the sick, all the bad people. He didn't try to separate the good from the bad. He brought the good and the bad to what? Sit down and eat at the king's table. But you know, you got to know your doctrine. It still hadn't included us as Gentile yet. And the messenger came back and said, "Well, I went and got all who you said get. I got the lame, I got Little Pistol, I got the Crips, I got the Bloods, I got all them. But there's still room." He said, "I tell you what, go to the highways and the hedges and tell men to come. And I want to let you know, I'm glad they got on the highway. Because they got on the highway, the word got to me and you. And what a blessing it is to be kinship. I might not be kin to Obama, but I'm kin to the Almighty God. I might not know the Jefferson, but I tell you who I do know. His name is Jesus. Man, I tell you what, I'm in the family. I'm a joint heir. And I don't know about you, but I'm happy about that today. You might not have no money in your pocket, but guess what? There are some promises blessed, some promises promised to you, some blessings blessed to you. Now, that seventh verse deals with the second coming of Christ. And I tell you, if that was ever a period that we really needed to pick up on, is that Christ is coming back. The only other thing more important that he died on the cross and was placed in a borrowed tomb and I like to say that the Rock of Ages that cared for me, that let me hide myself in thee, the rock was put in a rock, a borrowed tomb, and it was closed with a rock. And guess what? On the third day morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And, you know, he departed, but he said, just like I'm leaving, I'm coming back. My point to you tonight is Jesus is coming back. Read that seventh verse. Read that seventh through that eighth verse. So Smitten, I think that'll almost rescue my point right there.
Amen.
Seven through the eighth verse.
Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen.
Come on. Keep going.
Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Verse 9,
We'll hold right there. Now, next week we'll start with verse 9 and we'll deal with John's vision on Patmos and we'll deal with the seven churches. But I want to add one more little closing thought that I think might be helpful to those of us that's listening. If you notice, the number 7 is used quite often in this revelation. The number 7. 7, which means what? Perfection. 7, which means what? Completion. The number 7. And there are some things about that 7 that, if applied to our lives, could make the difference in our witness. The Bible talks about 7 attitudes of a spiritual life. The 7 attitudes of a spiritual life. If I had time to tell you, I'd take you to Psalms 23:2 talked about laying down for spiritual rest. Luke 10:39 talked about sitting down for instructions. Ephesians 6:14 talk about standing for warfare. 1 John 1:7 deal with walking for fellowship. Hebrew 12:1 deal with running for progress. Acts 3:8 talks about leaping for ecstasy. And Isaiah 40:31 talking about mounting up for exaltation. That's the type of what? Attitude that we ought to, believers ought to have when the Holy Spirit is in our life. And then it talks about 7 being completion, indicating completion. Leviticus 4:6 talking about the blood was sprinkled 7 times. Leviticus 14:7 and Numbers 19:4 deal with the leper being sprinkled 7 times. Joshua 6:4 deal with the priests going around the wall of Jericho 7 times. Elijah's servant, Mr. Naaman, was dipped, what, 7 times. 7 is a very interesting number. 7 used to express Christian influence and responsibility. Isaiah 43, we ought to what? Witness. Matthew 5:13, we are the salt of the earth, preserving. Matthew 5:14, we are the light of the world. We ought to be illuminating. John 15:5, we are the branches connected to the tree, which we ought to be bearing fruit. 2 Corinthians 3:2 deals with our epistles for what? Learning. 2 Corinthians 2:5-20 deal with us as ambassadors representing God. 1 Peter 4:10, we are stewards. I just want you to know that number 7. Because on the third day morning, he got up with all power. And the first day of the week was from Saturday to Sunday. And my prayer to you this evening is that you read the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit will teach you, mold you, and make you through his what? Divine word. And oh, what a blessing it is for us to be a part of this great day, because he's what? Coming back. We're living in the closing day. If you don't get anything that I'm trying to say to you today, I just want you to know that Jesus is on his way back. And it's time now to stop playing and let the Holy Spirit have his way in our life. Now, next week, we're going to look at John's vision on the island of Patmos. But I want to thank you once again. And I hope that you'll go back and read and look at the different views. And I hope you pray that the Holy Spirit will give you a view. But whatever view you get, remember, it's the word of God, testimony of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Sister Smith, for allowing us this opportunity. I pray that the Holy Spirit will be the teacher and the preacher. And I pray that somebody that don't have that divine relationship with God will come to know who he is. Thank you, Sister Smith.
Well, praise the Lord. Let's offer a prayer of salvation, or extend the gospel, extend the very gospel of Jesus Christ to someone who may be listening tonight. And I just encourage my brothers and sisters who may be listening live to the program, to the broadcast tonight, to pray with Pastor Crow and I, as we all extend some listening ear out there to this program, that they would give their heart to Jesus Christ. So if we could touch and agree at this moment, and let's just pray together for somebody to receive the free gift of eternal life, and that is salvation. So, Pastor Crow, if you could pray a prayer of salvation for those who are listening, and our brothers and sisters who are with us listening live, if we can all be in agreement and lift up those who are listening who just does not know him in the pardoning of their sins. So, Pastor Crow, if you could do so, let's take this opportunity to do that now.
Our Father in heaven, we come right now saying thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And above all, thank you for your darling son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb that died in our place on Calvary's Hill. The word of God. We want to say thank you. Now, right now, we pray that your Holy Spirit will prick the hearts of men. There might be somebody that heard the word and received the word. You touched their heart like only you could do. Dear, there might be somebody that heard the word, but they're disobedient here. They're shallow here. They're forgetful here. Open up our ears so we can hear. Open up our eyes so that we can see. And we pray tonight that somebody just through a word, through a sentence, through a number, you touch their heart and open up their eyes. And there's a thought, a feeling on the inside that they want to know who you are. We want to let them know right now, all you got to do is express to God that you are a sinner, that you believe in the redemptive plan of Jesus Christ from God the Father, and admit that you want to come to know who he is. You want that divine fellowship we talked about. You want that access to God that we talked about. You want that assurance that God is real and you can have it right now in the name of Jesus. If you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I pray right now that somebody does that. And if you do, our prayer is that you find the closest Bible-based church. You come down that aisle and give your hand to the preacher. You give your heart to God. You believe it again with your heart and confess it with your mouth that I want to be born again. I want to come to know who you, and you can be saved. Thank you now. Save the day, Lord. Heal the day, Lord. Bless the day, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for this radio program, and we thank you for Sister Smith. We pray your Holy Spirit continue to use her. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am so ever grateful to have brothers and sisters who are obedient to the call of the Holy Spirit, to the call of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I just encourage you to preach the gospel, teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is coming. And just as he said in his word, time is near. And that ought to encourage us to get started, get moving, get going. He did give us a call. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I just pray that my brothers and sisters in Christ get started. I'm sure that the Lord has spoken to you about a ministry, about your call. Just get started. I thank you for tuning into this program. I pray that you will tune in again with us on series 2 of this teaching track, The Beginning of the End. And I thank you, Pastor Crow, for being the vessel that God is using to teach us and walk us through these beautiful scriptures in Revelation. But this brings us to the end of this program, but not to the end of this teaching lesson. And I just encourage you, and I pray that you are empowered by the Holy Spirit to continue to teach and preach to others. Now is the time. The time is near. Jesus is coming back. So always remember this. The grass wither and the flowers do fade, but the word of God will stand forever and ever. So I thank you, Pastor Crow. I thank you for the listeners of this broadcast. And I pray, Lord willing, that you would return and listen to next week's broadcast, Series 2, concerning the beginning of the end. Thank you so much, and God bless. And
God bless you. Goodbye.